This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I think, yes, we do have. Kimberly Kitching is here. We're going to drag her into the studio here and
put her under the spotlight.
Put her under the spotlight. She's arrived here, and so she's just coming into the studio. So,
what are we going to be talking about?
Well, a couple of things we want to talk to Kimberly about. One is welfare drug testing.
Yes.
And also Afghanistan's 50th anniversary.
Wow.
Senator Kimberly Kitching, or Kimber Cat. How are you?
Good morning. I am very well. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's been a very busy sitting fortnight.
It has.
But you're nice. That nice young man on reception is bringing me a coffee, so all is good.
Hang on. Let's increase the order. Fantastic. I could go on.
Now, we were just speaking with your colleague, Mark Dreyfus, about press freedom and also the religious discrimination legislation. We want to talk to you, first off, about welfare drug testing. Mm. And a lot of people out there think, oh, this is a good idea. Okay, why is it a good idea? And secondly, show us the evidence that people on welfare are abusing drugs and more than anyone else in the community. And, Stuart Robert, the minister, having his tongue tested in his office. Yeah, it's a good photo opportunity, mate. I'm not sure drug testing around Parliament House would be a good idea, to be honest.
Well, the midwinter ball was on Wednesday night, and the security guards tell me that I haven't heard from them back yet, but last year they found people who didn't quite make it out of the Parliament House precinct. They were, having a little rest.
Oh, having a rest.
Arrested about 5 a.m. in the gardens.
A few sleepovers.
Before they made their way properly home. So I don't know about this year yet. But, I think the testing, I think there is an argument. I think, Jackie Lambie was saying, I receive government money, as I do, as all parliamentarians do. If we receive government money, maybe we should be being tested. I think the point is that that was a publicity stunt.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the humiliation.
It wasn't an IQ test, was it?
I couldn't possibly comment on Minister Roberts' IQ and whether it's in his saliva. I think what we've, we know from overseas that it doesn't work. So we know from a test that the state of Florida in the US did in 2011 that the rollout there didn't work, a very minuscule, by that I mean sort of under a percent, was found to have been having tested positive there. And I think it cost $118,000 to roll out there, which was, wait for it, $45,000 more than it would have cost to pay the benefits.
Yeah.
So in New Zealand, there was a similar experience. The government there suggested that 10 to 20% of welfare recipients were taking drugs. In fact, what they found was that when 50,000 people were tested, 0.3% were found to have tested positive. So the cost of the rollout compared with the result that is brought it's nonsensical. Plus, I think, it reminded me when this debate's been going on for the last few weeks. I mean, there are several points I want to make about that. I think that, firstly, it reminds me of, those scenes in To Kill a Mockingbird where, you know, where you sort of, there's an examination, I think, of what kind of compassion you want in a society and, you know, how a society actually functions. And I think that what we're, you know, and also I think there's different strata of society, you know, treating people differently because, you know, maybe they don't have as much as others. And I think that really governments, parliamentarians from both sides, and really I mean from the parties that are able to form government, so the Liberal Party in coalition with the National Party and the ALP, we really should actually be having, you know, policy and consequent legislation that is, that doesn't divide people, yep. that brings a society together, and that we can, you know, that we can be proud of. And I would suggest that not only does it not work and it's more expensive, but also it's actually, you know, it divides society. And I think we should be, really all of us in parliamentarians should be aiming to have a society that's more inclusive. And I think that's the absolute basic reason, you know, why parliaments exist, is to actually make societies cohesive, I
what
think.
What an interesting concept.
That's pretty wild.
And sometimes it works, you know, sometimes it does work. I mean, look at the same-sex marriage or the amendments to the Marriage Act that were brought forward that were passed. I think that was a very good example of a parliament working together. I think we see it sometimes certainly in foreign policy issues we do, and defence. There wouldn't be a parliamentarian that didn't support our ADF, our defence personnel. And I think that we have to remember that, and, you know, not dividing society or saying, well, actually, we don't really trust how you're going to spend money. Because, in fact, most Australians would know someone. There would be very few Australians who don't understand the terrible scourge that is drug addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of, in fact, the cafe where I was this morning, one of the waiters there, his uncle, who was an accountant, is addicted to ice. Yeah. And that family's trying to do something. When I was in Shepparton a few months ago, they're trying to, in a very, I think, a really wonderful way, their primary school, which has, a lot of issues there with the parents. So it's a low socioeconomic area, and it's a, you know, there's a lot of addiction problems, and they've got all of their community leaders, so including the partner of the law firm and someone who runs the Chamber of Commerce there, they go and do reading to primary school, so that to the primary school kids there. And that's actually been a really cohesive policy in Shepparton, because it brings everyone together and everyone is aware, and they know that there's, you know, multi-layers of support. And I think that that's actually a better way than sort of saying, well, we're going to pick these sites around Australia and we're going to drug test you, and, oh, and in fact, we don't really trust you in, you know, how you spend that. Oh, that you, I mean,
the next thing is the cashless welfare card that actually costs more.
Yes,
to run in each instance, well, than the actual benefit that's paid.
Yeah, that's right. That's
like,
right.
Really?
So, I mean, this is, yeah, and I think that, I mean, when you go to see some of the communities around Australia, you know, I was in, last year the Senate was doing an inquiry into the Community Development Program, which is a program for Indigenous Australians, and, you know, we're in Papunya, which is the closest township to the continental pole of inaccessibility. So it's about 300 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs. So every continent has a pole of inaccessibility, and Papunya is the closest town to the one on the Australian continent. And, look, I mean, there are so many issues and, you know, there's obviously a high incidence of diabetes there. There's many, many ways to spend money. And I'm aware that one of my colleagues is in the city today talking about the fact that the urban congestion plan the government's done absolutely nothing on urban congestion. There are so many ways for a government to spend money when they know it doesn't work, from trials overseas and here. I mean, there's lots of organisations here that have also said that the cashless welfare card won't work and that drug testing of welfare recipients won't work. There are so many ways for a government to improve society that not... You know, that we don't have the money, we shouldn't waste the money doing projects.
Absolutely.
And doing policy that we know doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think we also have to remember the largest cohort of people who receive Newstart are single mums in their 50s.
Yep.
Now, are we really suggesting that they're going to be, you know, taking methamphetamines, et cetera, and they should all be, you know, have their saliva tested or their hair plucked and have that tested or,
yep.
You know, I mean... It's.
Are they going to be followed, you know, if they want to go and buy a bottle of wine as well? I mean, you know, that's another addiction. Or if they want to go and put a bet on the Melbourne Cup, is that going to be checked out on there?
And that's right. Like, I mean, I think that what we actually need to do is work out what is going to be the most effective way forward, because obviously you do want to help people who have, you know, who have drug addiction problems. And I think, you know, we're all very aware that that can also either start or be the start of mental health issues, or indeed mental health issues can be the start of a drug problem. So I think, you know, this... I think we really do need to think about this through the lens of compassion and actually also what is going to best help our society.
Yep.
And we know from, you know, from overseas trials and the trials here that it just hasn't been effective. Why are we pursuing it?
Well, yeah.
And I think that really that the Prime Minister is pursuing it because it's essentially it's, you know... Red meat. I mean, remember, this has already been tested in the last parliament, and the crossbench is different this time, so they may well get it through. But we know that you know, it's sort of red meat to the base. But I think, I mean, it goes back to my point where, you know, we really are there in parliament to actually have a society that is cohesive and inclusive. And I don't think that these policies, and this is just one of a number that the government is reheating to put through this parliament, I think we should, you know, we should actually work out what is best for our society.
I think what you're saying and what it feels like to me publicly, you know, from the, I guess, the public view of this kind of political debate is it's absolutely about division and distraction versus focusing on the fact that, for instance, our economy is slowing and you know, the sorts of real issues. And when it comes to, you know, sort of hanging their hat on the drug addiction versus is it a mental health issue type, you know, debate, that's such a distraction to the fact that they're effectively saying people who are on welfare should not be using drugs. Like, you know, that's some sort of moral judgment or it's just a, you know, to me it's a crazy distraction. The real debate should be, our welfare system is not adequate for the current, you know, standards of living in our community. And I know there's been discussion about this even at the United Nations level of introducing the minimum subsistence. I'm not sure what they're calling it, a living wage or, you know, something along those lines. And I think somebody here mentioned that one of our welfare benefits rose $1.60 in a,
Newstart went up $1.60.
$1.60. And it's, you know, we're having constant discussion about the cost of electricity bills, gas bills, you know, the basic needs of living.
And, you know, that $1.60 does buy you a cup of coffee, but at a place where they don't pay people the right wages.
Correct.
And isn't that an issue?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have, you know, come before the parliament a bill that really I think is actually very bad law. It's called the Ensuring Integrity Bill, and it's really trying to limit down registered organisations, so trade unions. But of course, it was the trade unions who discovered that the systemic problem of underpayments, particularly in the hospitality industry. I mean, do we really want to think that that's okay, that's how really our society should
exactly.
function? That some people, if they can't really look after themselves, are actually, you know, treated so terribly.
And interestingly, it's great that the term wage theft has been attached to that practice.
And it is.
And it absolutely is a criminal act.
That's right.
And it's,
yes, and I think it's interesting that, of course, if it happened the other way,
yep.
that if there was, you know, if someone stole from an employer, they would be pursued,
yeah,
as they should be. But
sure.
I mean, but the other way, employers should also be pursued, particularly when it's systemic.
Absolutely,
it's not like it's an accident.
No,
see, I forgot to pay you this
in it's
parliament
part of the
or
business.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's that's right. It's
Mobile.
How the business makes money, and I think we need to look at the value. It's a values of our society and what we actually, how we want to function.
Yes.
And, I do think, and on your point, I think this is all a distraction. I mean, the main thing is that you've got, an economy that isn't doing that well.
Yep.
Stagnating or stagnated wage growth.
Yes.
When Scott Morrison was Treasurer in 2017, he said the biggest problem our economy is facing is slow wages growth.
Yep.
So that was 2017. Now it's 2 years later.
Yeah.
Not
what have they
changed.
Done?
And
you
even
know?
The Reserve Bank is saying now there needs to be some urgent stimulus done to lift wages to keep the economy ticking over.
Now, we've got a couple of minutes left, Kimberly.
Yes. I know, I'm very chatty.
Afghanistan's 50th anniversary. 50th anniversary of what?
50th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Australia and Afghanistan.
Ah.
So I was lucky enough to go there is to Kabul recently and actually went to, so they had a function at the presidential palace I met President Ghani and Mrs. Ghani, and it's possibly the only evening function I've gone to where you wear body armour in. but it's very unsafe. The trip was actually possibly not going to happen at all because there had just been an IED at a wedding party and 60 people, or at least 60 people were killed. It's a very dangerous place, but I think they really appreciated because, of course, for us, it's a very normal thing to celebrate diplomatic relations or relations with other countries.
Yep.
But there in Kabul, in Afghanistan, of course, this is not... It's very difficult to have that long-term relationship because, of course, its own parliament and its own the way its civil society functions is under constant threat.
It is,
and I have to say, President Ghani was he's a very intelligent man, very charming. Mrs. Ghani has done a lot of work with Afghan women and children, and in fact the Afghan embassy here in Australia is bringing an orchestra out to Australia that's going to perform at the Sydney Opera House in a couple of weeks, and will perform at Monash in Melbourne.
That's fantastic.
And that is comprised of young women, so school-aged girls. And of course, remember, they had a period in their history where the Taliban was in charge and, of course, killed girls who were going to school.
I know.
Absolutely.
Because
they didn't...
Let alone musicians.
Yeah. Yes, because they didn't believe women should be educated.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, Kimberly...
Yes.
We are out of time.
It's too short, Macca.
I know.
It's too short.
But... always love having you in. You've got to become a regular. We've got to
I love coming here.
Got to work more, to secure that.
Do you know why I love it here? Because you all have a naughty sense of humour.
I do. And even Minister Stuart Robert, with his internet problems, he can stream us live.
Love it.
He has expensive... I don't know what the quality's like, but he does have expensive internet.
He does. Senator Kimberly Kitching, thank you again.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.